Let's turn together now to the Word of God in Matthew 12. The sermon text this evening is verses 14 through 21, but especially verse 20 of Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Going to read just verse 20 again. That's the focus of this evening's sermon. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. As Matthew himself indicates, verses 18 through 21 are a quote from Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah chapter 42, which speaks of the coming and work of the servant of the Lord, whom we know to be our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who, in verse 20, will not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. He's the one who brings forth judgment unto victory. But did you know, beloved, that verse, verse 20, is also referred to in our creeds. In the first chapter of the canons, head 1, article 16, I want to read that article this evening. It takes the doctrine of sovereign and eternal election and applies it in a very beautiful and comforting way to each of us. Speaks of those who are struggling spiritually, struggling with their sins and weaknesses, and speaks also to those whose assurance of their own salvation is not what it should be, who lack in some measure the assurance of their own salvation, and uses that verse from Isaiah and from Matthew for their comfort. Those who do not yet experience a lively faith in Christ, an assured confidence of soul, peace of conscience, an earnest endeavor after filial, childlike obedience, and glorying in God through Christ, efficaciously wrought in them, and do nevertheless persist in the use of the means which God hath appointed for working these graces in us, prayer, the hearing of the gospel, the reading of Holy Scripture. Those are the means referred to. They persist in the use of the means which God hath appointed for working these graces in us, ought not to be alarmed at the mention of reprobation, nor to rank themselves among the reprobate, but diligently to persevere in the use of means, and with ardent desires devoutly and humbly to wait for a season of richer grace. And then the canons go on. Much less cause have they to be terrified by the doctrine of reprobation, who, though they seriously desire to be turned to God, to please Him only, and to be delivered from the body of death, cannot yet reach that measure of holiness and faith to which they aspire, since a merciful God has promised that He will not quench the smoking flax nor break the bruised reed. That's how the canons apply the Word of God here in Matthew 12 and in Isaiah 42 to you and to me and our spiritual struggles. So the theme with that article from the canons in mind, the theme this evening is smoking flax and bruised reed. We're going to talk about the flax to which the Word of God refers and the reed. And then we're going to see what the Word of God is talking about when it speaks of smoking flax and a bruised reed. And finally, we're going to see that we have here a promise, the promise that the canons so beautifully lay out for us, that God will never break the bruised reed or quench the smoking flax. When the Word of God here refers to the flax or the reed, then it's referring to two plants, two important plants. In the days when Isaiah prophesied and Matthew wrote his version of the gospel under the inspiration of the Spirit. Flax was used for different things, used to make linen cloth, but it was also used, the fibers of that plant were used to make wicks for candles and for lamps. Fibers were twisted together tightly and used then as wicks. And that's what the Word of God is referring to here when it speaks of the flax. Not the plant itself, but the fibers of that plant made into wicks for candles and lamps. The reed referred to, sometimes called in the prophecy of Isaiah, the paper reed, grew in wet places in Egypt and in Canaan, and in the days of Jesus was used to make paper, a kind of paper. That's the reed to which the Word of God refers here. And the reference is to you and to me. You and I are that reed, that flax. There may be a reference in that to the fact that God uses us in somewhat the same way that those plants were useful in the days of Isaiah and still in the days of Jesus himself. But the emphasis is on the fact that we are nothing more than that. No matter who I am, no matter to what I've attained in this world, no matter my reputation in the world, I am in God's sight and in God's word nothing more than the twisted fibers of the wick of a candle or that reed growing in some wetland in Egypt or in the land of Israel. That's the reference here to what we sang a little while ago. My end, Lord, make me know my days, how soon they fail, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. God is showing us that here, reminding us that we are really nothing, except, of course, by his grace. That's the first part of the passage. But the passage doesn't just talk about how weak I am and frail, to quote that Psalter number, but it also describes in a very vivid way the struggles and the difficulties and the trials of our earthly life. That's why the Word of God speaks of smoking flax and a bruised reed. The picture is first of all of that wick, wick of a candle or of a lamp, still smoldering, but almost gone out. That's me and you in our trials and struggles and temptations. The wick, sometimes, not always, but a wick which is no longer burning, only just smoldering and sending up a little wisp of smoke. That's the figure first of all. The bruised reed, you can really think of any soft-stemmed plant. The bruised reed is a reference to those reeds that grew in the wet places of the Near East. But because that plant isn't familiar to us, you could think of any soft-stemmed plant. And you know what happens when you pinch the stem of that plant. Pinch it hard, of course. Flops over, and you cannot get it to stand up again, except, of course, by staking and tying it, but it will no longer stand up by itself. That's the second picture here in the Word of God. And the Word of God is describing with those pictures those times in my life and yours when our spiritual life is like that smoking wick at a very, very low ebb. We're like the man whom James describes in the fifth chapter of his epistle, who can't pray and who can't sing, and who is desperately in need of the help of the elders. It's like that smoking wick. It's describing those times, that's the other figure, when, because of persecution, because of other troubles, troubles in the church, troubles in the family, we're like that bruised reed. We feel at least that we can't even stand up on our own, although we would probably put it differently and say, I can't go on. I don't see how I could possibly get through all of this. And if you've been through troubles of that sort and trials, especially trials that seem to go on and on and on, then you know exactly from your own experience what the Word of God is talking about here. And I'm pretty sure that most of us from our own experience can say, yes, yes, that's the way it is. I'm that bruised reed, that smoking flax. Or looking back, say, how well I remember when in the trials that God set me, I was like that. Sometimes, The canons apply the passage that way. Sometimes that's the result of our sins and struggles with sin. Our sins, as the psalmist says, rise up against us. And it seems that we commit the same sins over and over again, though we don't mean to or want to. And in the face of our weakness and sin, we don't feel like we can even continue the struggle. Or perhaps if the Lord's Supper is being administered, don't see how we can possibly go in faith to the table of the Lord. You know what that's like? To be that bruised reed and that smoking flax. There's many examples in Scripture of God's people who are like that. Jacob, when after all his other family troubles, received the news that Joseph was, so he thought, dead, had said, "All these things are against me." Now, what a child of God ought to say, if God be for us, who can be against us? But all these things are against me. It's like that bruised reed. Or Elijah under the juniper tree, ready to give up, thinking he was unable to continue his work as a prophet, because after all the excitement of Mount Carmel and fire from heaven, the Israelites hadn't changed. Jezebel wanted to kill him, and they were not going to stand in Jezebel's way. And there, despairing even of his life, he, at least in his own mind, quit as God's prophet. He too was that bruised reed. Or you have David, remembering that time when he had struggled with his sin and the consequences of his sin. David in Psalm 32, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moistures turned into the drought of summer." He was at that point, that smoking flax of which the Word of God speaks here. Or you have Asaph in Psalm 77. Seemed to him, you know, as though God was gone. "I cried unto God with my voice. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed." And then he asked those questions. "Will the Lord cast off? forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? It doesn't, of course. But you know, I think, what it's like to feel as Asaph did. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Asaph came to resolution and to peace, but there was a time when he was that smoking flax of which the Word of God speaks. The fire of his spiritual life, as it were, almost gone out. And of course, there's our Lord Jesus Christ too. So there's always that difference between him and his suffering and us, that he was perfect. And
but he was touched, as you know, with the feeling of our infirmities in all points, like as we are. And that means that these words from the psalm are his also. In Gethsemane, on the cross, he himself was that smoking flax, that bruised reed.
It's not uncommon in the Word of God, and you can find other examples as well of men and women like you and me who were that smoking flax and bruised reed of which the Word of God speaks. Canons, remember that? Canons in that first chapter speak of the person who hasn't attained to the measure of holiness and assurance to which he aspires. And, of course, tell that person, you and me, that we ought not be afraid when the doctrine of reprobation is mentioned. But that's quite a description, isn't it? A description that touches, ought to touch the heart of every child of God who finds that the Christian life is full of disappointments, discouragements, troubles, and sorrows. That it seems sometimes as though when one trial is hardly ended, another begins, and that God piles trial upon trial upon some of his people. That's what the Word of God is describing here. And it's to us in all life struggles that the Word of God speaks here with the promise, the merciful
promise that God will never quench the smoking flax, never allow that smoldering wick to go out. Even though it seems from our perspective as though it will soon be extinguished, He'll never allow that bruised reed to be broken, although it seems as though that reed is damaged permanently and will never, ever stand up on its own again. That's the way it is, isn't it? But we have that amazing and wonderful promise of God here, that Jesus, our Savior, who loved us from eternity and came in love in the likeness of our sinful flesh, who died for our sins and rose again, and who is now in heaven on our behalf, that He will never allow the work that He's done for us and in us to come to nothing. He won't allow someone like Asaph to lose all hope of God. Will not, as the canons say in another article, wholly withdraw His Holy Spirit from His people. Never, ever, ever. And that, of course, is the Reformed and biblical doctrine of the preservation and perseverance of saints. None of them, Jesus says, none of those whom I hold in my hand will ever perish. But that doctrine of perseverance and preservation does not mean that the Christian life is easy and that we must not expect trials and troubles and persecution and sorrows and all the other things of which we've spoken. It only means that God is merciful and God is faithful, and that He who loved His own from eternity will never, ever lose one of them. Quite a promise, isn't it? A promise to remember when our way is difficult beyond anything we ever imagined. And when we're struggling spiritually, can hardly pray anymore. Or as Romans has it, don't even know what we should pray for as we ought. Can't sing. James, as I pointed out, talks about that man. Can't sing because we are so burdened and troubled by our sins, by life's difficulties, by the burden of cares that God so often lays on us. The promise is that we will persevere and God will preserve us. You know why? Do you know why the smoking flax will never be allowed to go out? Why, you, when you're that bruised reed, will never be broken. It's not because we deserve God's mercy, is it? Oftentimes our weakness is such that God would be perfectly just in saying to us, I've helped you, I've given you my word, I've given you my promises, I've given you my spirit, and you're still so weak, weak in faith, feeling so hopeless, I'm going to give up on you. We would deserve that, wouldn't we? You've sinned against me time and time again. I'm done with you. But he doesn't do that. And he doesn't do it because for him to quench the smoking flax or break the bruised reed would be for God to deny himself. For God to say, I am not God. And you know, the children know, that that's impossible. But if God did the opposite of what he promises here, that's what he would be doing. Say that reverently, of course. He would be denying the fact, to use the figure here, that that reed, as unimportant and insignificant as it is in itself, was purchased by the blood of his son. He would be denying that that wick, even when it only smolders, is a fire by the work, the sovereign work of his spirit, and that he cannot do, because then he would be denying his own son and his own spirit and what he has done for us through them. He cannot deny himself. Can't deny. No possibility of that. Shed blood of his own only begotten son, or the sovereign and gracious work of his spirit. And that's why you and I have to take what the Word of God says here to heart. And when we're suffering and struggling, look not so much at ourselves as we're inclined to do, so that we start to feel sorry for ourselves and complain as Asaph did in Psalm 77. But look to the mercy and loving kindness and faithfulness of the God of our salvation, and believe that for Christ's sake and for the sake of his Spirit, he will do what he promises to do here. Those of you who come with your struggles and trials to church today must take this to heart. There is no other comfort but this. There's no comfort in thinking that things will get better. There's no comfort in trying to convince yourself that things will change. There's no comfort either in the solutions that men offer to life's trials and troubles. Some of them, of course, never even to be thought of by the child of God. This is our only comfort, and it's really the same as what Lord's Day 1 talks about, that I am not my own, but by grace, by blood sacrifice, and by the sovereign operations of the Spirit, I belong to my faithful Savior, and through him to the God of my salvation. But as you've probably noticed, there's a little more to the passage than that, to verse 20. Not only speaks of the fact that God will not allow us to perish everlastingly, he sends us many troubles in this life, but that will never happen. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But there's a little more than that. Before I talk about that, though, I want to give you an illustration from my own ministry of what this Word of God means to you and to me. I've had to deal with members of the churches I've served who were struggling spiritually, lacking assurance, whose faith was weak, who were struggling with their own sins, and even came to the point where they weren't sure that they were children of God. That's more common among God's people, I think, than you would ever realize. But you know what a minister can say to them? As deeply wounded as they are spiritually, could say to them, although they don't always see that themselves, that their worry, their care, their concern over the fact that they cannot see themselves to be children of God is itself proof that they are. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, they're that smoking flax and bruised reed. Indeed. But the very fact that they are almost beside themselves over the matter is the proof that the work of the Spirit in them has not come to nothing, and that the blood of Christ has been shed for them. As difficult as they find it to see that for themselves, because no unbeliever, no person who has not been saved by the grace of God cares. And they still do. That's from everyday life, from the experience of some of you, what the Word of God is describing here. And it's all the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But it's his grace too, as verse 20 has it, that brings forth judgment unto victory. Judgment referred to is the righteousness of Christ, who under the judgment of God paid for our sins and earned for us an everlasting righteousness. That's the fundamental reason why the reed can never be broken or the flax quenched. But that, to use the figure of the text, means that someday, almost beyond belief, that broken reed will be bruised reed will be transplanted to heaven and stand up again by God's grace forever in the presence of God Almighty. And that smoking flax, which seemed in this life as though it would go out and be gone forever, that smoking flax will burn for all eternity with the light of God's glory and grace in his presence. He who bought that bruised reed and that smoking flax will bring forth judgment unto victory. You believe that, don't you? As I said before, you must. There's no other comfort in life or in death for that poor, bruised reed and smoking flax. Who I am. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word and acknowledge our sin in speaking and hearing of these things so sinfully. But we trust that by thy Spirit and grace, thou wilt apply that word to each of our hearts and comfort us as thou alone art able to do. Forgive us, Lord, the sins of the whole day and all our transgressions and sins graciously pardon. And help us in our weaknesses and infirmities, in our struggles and trials. Help us to look to thee and to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and to believe always and in all circumstances that nothing can separate us from thy love in him. And forgive the weakness of our faith. Forgive us all our sins, not for our asking, but only for Jesus' sake. Amen.